States of emergency tonight. A blockbuster blizzard set to unleash its fury on 88 million people. Feet of snow and a wild mix of ice and tornadoes, a winter weather nightmare is here. On the attack, 11 days to Iowa, Hillary Clinton unloads on Bernie Sanders, and a moment of panic for the GOP establishment facing the proposition of Trump or Cruz, which one they're getting behind. Sounding the alarm, an embattled governor is asked to appear before Congress as emails reveal a trail of dismissed warnings to stop the water crisis that poisoned an American city. And a new twist in a deadly spy thriller. A former Russian agent killed by polonium in his tea. Now a major investigation points the finger at Putin. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Tens of millions are bracing right now for what forecasters fear will be a historic snowstorm that could paralyze the eastern third of the country. Tonight, winter weather advisories and warnings are posted from Arkansas up through the northeast for a storm that by tomorrow, at about this time, will bring brutal winds, whiteout conditions, and more than 2 feet of snow along parts of the east coast. Air travel disruptions could ripple across the entire country. Expected to get the worst of it, Washington, D.C., where tonight folks have fresh reason to question whether the city is ready. Al Roker has the latest tracking and snow predictions, but first, NBC's Miguel Almaguer in the bullseye.
Tonight, after snow and sleet moved through Tennessee, preparation and panic across the east for a monster storm set to blast at least 80 million.
I think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be a big storm.
36 hours of blinding snow, ice, flooding, and power outages.
Hunker down. We are not going anywhere.
The bullseye Friday, Washington, D.C. Just last night, it turned ugly here. A dusting brought the nation's capital to its knees.
If this is what a single inch does, how can we handle a blizzard?
20-minute commutes took up to 5 hours. Some abandoned their cars. The president's motorcade slipping and sliding. D.C.'s mayor under fire for being underprepared.
That we are very sorry for inadequate response. We believe that we did not provide adequate resources.
Now they're expecting 2 feet of snow.
How bad do you think it's going to be?
For this area? We shut down, the city pretty much shut down for half an inch of snow, so it's going to be very bad.
With 5 states, D.C., and several counties in Georgia under a state of emergency, more than 1,000 flights are already canceled. In Washington, rail and bus service suspended this weekend. Worries gas will run short. Food is flying off the shelves. Shovels and snow salt hard to come by.
I've never seen a line this long.
Maryland's governor issued a warning. Stockpile food.
Not just to last for the weekend, but enough to last up to an entire week.
From North Carolina to the Jersey Shore, high tides and strong winds. A dangerous combination for an area hit hard by Superstorm Sandy.
We're planning for the worst, hoping for the best.
Tonight, a scramble to prepare, a race against time.
Tonight, it is cold but dry outside of Washington, D.C. I want to show you a live picture from our helicopter outside along the Beltway. There is a lot of traffic. It's a nightmare again. And hopefully in 24 hours, it'll be a different scene. There will be less vehicles, we hope, but plenty of snow on the ground. Meantime, we are at a salt barn, the largest one east of the Mississippi. They have already taken tons of salt outside of this facility. Over the next 48 hours, they are going to need every inch of this.
All right, Miguel, thank you. Al Roker is here tracking the storm. What are we looking at here?
Well, Lester, we're looking at a swath of snow that's going to stretch about 1,200 miles from northern Arkansas and Louisiana all the way into New England. Let's show you where we expect to see the snow. The big bullseye right around the Washington, D.C. area, we're talking about 18 to 24 inches. Western parts of their region could see 3 feet. Blizzard watches, the snow begins right around rush hour. Now we look at Philadelphia. We're going to see anywhere from 12 to 18 inches, 10 to 16 inches of snow, heavy wet snow and gusty winds. New York City, we've lowered the amounts, looking for about 5 to 8 inches of snow. The other big problem is going to be icing, Lester. We're talking about anywhere from a tenth of an inch to a half an inch. Also, power outages likely from Washington to Charlotte. And there's a severe side to this storm as well. Tornado watches and warnings in effect, and that will move east into Florida by tomorrow, Lester. A wide-ranging storm.
All right, Al, thank you. And this monster storm comes right in the middle of the most powerful El Nino on record, and that is no coincidence. The weather phenomenon is fueling this wild and unpredictable season, including this system, blizzard conditions, ice, and you heard Al mention tornado warnings, all from the same storm deep into the south. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has that part of the story.
Tonight, already on the move, a caravan of Florida power crews headed to North Carolina.
The biggest impact, I think, right here in Charlotte with power outages with a quarter inch to half inch of ice.
Where they're bracing not just for snow and sleet, but crippling ice.
Our goal with this potential winter storm coming to North Carolina is to be overprepared and hopefully underwhelmed.
The savage storm comes during what some are calling a Godzilla El Nino. The weather phenomenon brought on by warm Pacific waters could be fueled by a strong dip in the southern jet stream, funneling low pressure systems across the Gulf. It's been one extreme after another. In South Carolina, historic flooding in October.
It doesn't feel like the holidays without being cold.
In New York, record high temperatures in December. Around Christmas, tornadoes in Texas, then Florida. And colossal rains in California that could help pull the state out of a devastating drought.
What El Nino does is it disrupts in a major way the normal weather patterns around the Earth.
Tonight, cities like Charlotte are preparing for the worst.
We're taking every precaution to make sure that our roads are ready for the storm itself and our crews are ready to respond afterwards.
Amid the strongest El Nino in memory.
The big concern is icing on these roads here in Charlotte. The freezing rain is set to begin in just a few hours, Lester.
All right, Gabe, thank you. Let's turn now to the battle for the White House. Hillary Clinton firing off her most direct attacks yet at Bernie Sanders as their race grows increasingly tight. And on the GOP side, Donald Trump remains the front runner with fellow outsider Ted Cruz now being targeted by many within his own party. We're covering both races, beginning with NBC's Andrea Mitchell in Des Moines. Andrea.
Good evening, Lester. With that race getting tighter on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton went after Bernie Sanders with her toughest attacks yet.
At a small private college in Iowa, Clinton hammered Bernie Sanders, claiming he can't deliver on his promises.
I'll tell you, I'm not interested in ideas that sound good on paper, but will never make it in the real world.
Sanders responded to NBC's Casey Hunt.
Been up my dreams. Virtually every plan that we have brought forth is supported by the American people.
Clinton delivering sharp jabs direct from a teleprompter, unusual for the informal setting, also portrayed Sanders as naive on foreign policy, especially Iran.
He suggested we invite Iranian troops into Syria. That is like asking the arsonist to be the firefighter.
Touting her own experience after 9/11 and as Secretary of State in a new TV ad.
The one candidate for president who has everything it takes.
But the ad Iowa is buzzing about today is from Sanders, using powerful images set to Simon and Garfunkel's iconic anthem, America. Aimed at inspiring the students who've been flocking to Sanders rallies, like college sophomore Gabe Shabalian, who's attended events for both candidates several times.
My vision for the future of America is definitely what Bernie Sanders wants to have happen here. But I believe that there are steps leading up to that vision that need to take place, and I think Hillary could probably help construct that vision for the future.
So it's your head versus your heart on caucus night.
It is.
Iowans are less likely to care that Sanders calls himself a Democratic socialist. Here, Democratic caucus-goers are very liberal, 43% describing themselves as socialists. Last time, Clinton finished third in Iowa. She's fighting to avoid another upset to a candidate Iowans may find more inspirational. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Des Moines.
When do you think you're going to make up?
I'm Hallie Jackson in New Hampshire. Donald Trump or Ted Cruz? For some, it's a killer choice.
I think you get the same outcome. You know, whether it's death by being shot or poisoning, does it really matter?
Senator Lindsey Graham, just one of Cruz's congressional colleagues rooting against him. And Cruz seems to love the hate.
If as a voter you think what we need is more Republicans in Washington to cut a deal with Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, then I guess Donald Trump's your guy.
Cruz taking aim at Trump, though firing on the frontrunner hasn't worked for others so far.
His new line of attack is that I've become establishment. Oh, give me a break.
Trump arguing he has the Washington support, Cruz doesn't.
And I can tell you, they like me, those guys. And there's nothing wrong with that, folks. We got to make deals. You know, we don't want to sign executive orders. We want to make deals.
The Washington establishment would rather have a wild card who wants to get something done than someone they know and they don't like.
While former GOP nominee Bob Dole's calling a Cruz victory cataclysmic for the party, Cruz's campaign says it raised more than $700,000 this week after Iowa's governor gave an anti-endorsement.
I believe that would be a big mistake for Iowa to support him.
But compared to Trump, Cruz has a stronger overall favorability rating, performing better with African Americans, Latinos, and women.
If it's between Trump and Cruz, what does the establishment do?
They're going to have to go with Cruz.
Why?
It's probably the lesser of two evils.
Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
There is some breaking news tonight in the toxic water crisis in Flint, Michigan. An EPA director for the region has resigned, and the agency has just issued an emergency order requiring the state to take immediate actions to protect the public health. Meantime, Democrats in Congress want the state's embattled Republican governor to appear on Capitol Hill. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has late details.
Go Cam! Go Cam!
The children coming to this YMCA, like every kid in Flint who drank the water, will have to be monitored their entire childhood for possible lead exposure.
Some of the long-term effects that's going to have on people, it's ridiculous.
Today, their parents reacted to 274 pages of documents about the crisis, voluntarily released by Michigan Governor Rick Snyder. The documents lay out a timeline of warnings that were dismissed. The state agency that ensures clean drinking water spent months denying the lead contamination until October. In an email, the director wrote, "I believe now we made a mistake. Corrosion control should have been required from the beginning." Corrosion control treats the water, preventing lead from leaching into the system. 6 months before, on April 25th, EPA manager Miguel Del Toro wrote, "Flint has essentially not been using any corrosion control treatment." On June 24th, Del Toro sounds the alarm again. Recent drinking water sample results indicate the presence of high lead. No action was taken as state water officials continued to insist the water was safe, even after multiple independent studies proved otherwise. In December, a letter from the task force set up by the governor described the state water agency's response as one of aggressive dismissal, belittlement, and attempts to discredit these efforts with a persistent tone of scorn and derision. The head of that agency, along with his spokesperson, have resigned. But this document release and the governor's apologies are not enough for many who line up every day at handouts like this one. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News.
Now to a controversy we've been following in Hollywood. Don't count on seeing superstar Will Smith at the Oscars next month. The actor is joining his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, in boycotting the show and criticizing the lack of diversity among this year's nominees. As NBC's Morgan Radford tells us, the backlash has the Academy considering a major rewrite to its rules.
If you continue to deny my work,
Will Smith, co-starring in his wife Jada's call to boycott the Oscars.
At this current time, we're uncomfortable to stand there and say that this is okay.
Former Academy President Hawk Koch says the Academy gets a bad rap.
As president, I worked very hard to bring more diversity into the Academy. And I'm very proud of the fact that we did.
But the backlash may prove too loud to ignore. We need to do more and better and more quickly, says the Academy's first black president.
They have to do something dramatic. This is not a time for cautious baby steps.
Tim Gray, awards editor for Variety magazine, says the Academy is meeting next week and will consider increasing Best Picture nominations to a mandatory 10. If that were the case this year, many believe Straight Outta Compton would have been included.
I got something to say.
The Academy is also considering expanding the acting category to more than 5 nominations and creating new membership rules. Currently, Academy membership is for life.
It's not really a democracy. It's really more of an elite organization.
Critics say the nominees here in Hollywood aren't diverse because the Academy itself isn't diverse.
A 2013 study found that 93% of Academy voters are white, 76% are male, with an average age of 63. Some critics blame the studios.
The studios are overwhelmingly Caucasian and male, and they're the ones that greenlight movies.
Suggesting perhaps that the spotlight is misdirected. Morgan Radford, NBC News, Los Angeles.
There's a lot more to tell you about here tonight. Who killed a former Russian spy? A poisoning plot that sounds right out of a Cold War thriller. And now a new investigation concludes the approval to kill likely came from Vladimir Putin himself. Also, the astonishing viral video of a snowboarder trapped in an avalanche who lived to tell the tale. But now he may have other troubles to dig himself out from. There is a new twist in a real-life spy mystery that has remained unresolved for nearly a decade. A former Russian spy who fled his country only to be fatally poisoned years later. Now, as NBC's Bill Neely tells us, a new investigation concludes what many suspected, that the deadly plot likely went all the way to the top of the Kremlin.
On his deathbed, Alexander Litvinenko, a former Russian spy, blamed another, Vladimir Putin, for his murder.
By President Putin.
Today, a British judge said Putin probably approved the hit, naming two Russians as the killers. Andrei Lugovoy, sent to London with polonium, a radioactive liquid from a nuclear reactor, and Dmitry Kovtun, who went with him to a London hotel to kill Litvinenko. He had defected to work for British intelligence, and he'd made enemies. Russian special forces used his image as target practice. The London assassins poisoned him by pouring polonium into his green tea.
The conclusion that the Russian state was probably involved in the murder of Mr. Litvinenko is deeply disturbing.
Russia trashed the report as a political smear.
It's absolutely unacceptable that the report concludes that the Russian state was in any way involved in the death of Mr. Litvinenko.
Lugovoy, now a Russian lawmaker, denied murder today. As he did to NBC News last year.
What happened in this hotel may have been state-sponsored murder, but this is a case that almost certainly ends here, with no one ever likely to be brought to trial for Litvinenko's slow death.
I'm, of course, very pleased.
His widow said Putin is guilty of nuclear terrorism. It's quite a spy story. Murder with a nuclear weapon that's gone unpunished. Bill Neely, NBC News, London.
We're back in a moment with why pro football's newest coach is making NFL history. A new record involving air travel, and it involves a lot of Americans packing. The TSA says it seized more guns last year than ever before, over 2,600 of them. That's an average of 7 guns per day found in carry-ons. The most guns were found at airports in Dallas, Atlanta, Houston, Denver, and Phoenix. The Buffalo Bills just brought on the first full-time female coach in NFL history. Catherine Smith will serve as the Bills' special teams quality control coach. Prior to this, she worked as administrative assistant to head coach Rex Ryan, who said today that he's excited and proud for her. A jaw-dropping piece of video making the rounds captured terrifying moments for a snowboarder caught in an avalanche. The falling wall of snow sweeps him down the mountain, partially burying him. Luckily, he was able to fight his way to the surface. But now the resort is seeking criminal charges, saying he triggered the avalanche himself in an area closed to the public. When we come back, they met as strangers, but then a life-saving gift made them much more. Finally tonight, an incredible story about someone who gave the gift of life to a total stranger through an organ donation. But that's not where this story ends. In fact, as NBC's Joe Fryer tells us, for these two, it was just the beginning.
Heather Kruger's glowing smile did a good job masking the pain caused by her failing liver.
Basically, time was my enemy.
Desperate for a living donor, Heather's family spread the word. A medical Hail Mary that landed in the break room of her cousin's workplace, where Chris Dempsey overheard a conversation and decided he could help.
I know it's a scary thing to go through, but it's one of the greatest feelings in the world to be able to help somebody like that.
I couldn't believe. You know, I just said, thank you. Like, what do you say to someone that just is saving your life?
The transplant took place on March 16th, 2015. Chris gave Heather 55% of his liver, and shortly after that, all of his heart.
after we got out of hospital, we kind of made it official that she was going to be my girlfriend. So
turns out sometime between the first time they met and the surgery, Chris and Heather discovered they were a match in more ways than one.
Just everything was about me, and he's so concerned about me, and I'm like, wow, I just met him. Like, he just, how sweet he was. I was just thinking, like, wow, this could work.
Last month, Chris had one more thing to give Heather, an engagement ring. Needless to say, his future in-laws were already impressed.
You will not get a better man out there.
Today, Heather is healthy and Chris's liver has totally regenerated as they share their story about organ donation, a gift of life, and for Heather, someone to spend that life with. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
Quite a love story. That's going to do it for us on a Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.